Today's Palm Sunday, right? The triumphal entry. I remember as a kid growing up, I loved Palm Sunday because in my particular church, we had a palm branch. That was always fun, having that palm. I wanted to make sure I had my palm branch. But it's interesting because historically, Palm Sunday, the triumphal entry, kicks off Holy Week. Okay, and there is a lot going on. There was a lot going on in that short span of time from the triumphal entry, Jesus entering Jerusalem as a king. That was on Sunday. Remember, Sunday was the first day of the week for them. The Sabbath was on Saturday. So Sunday was the first day of the week. Monday, Jesus actually went back into the temple and cleansed it again. Just chucked everything out, you know, the Jesus we sometimes forget who he is. That's what he did on Monday. On Tuesday, he was teaching in the temple and he talked about the physical building, and then he left and went to the Mount of Olives, and you know, that's the big Olivet discourse, which is you know, a lot of what he taught about the end. The disciples wanted to know, you know, when's all this going to happen? And he went into the tribulation and signs and wonders and his coming again. That was all on Tuesday. Wednesday, Judas decided to go see the chief priests and cut a deal to betray Jesus. That was on Wednesday. Thursday was the Last Supper. Jesus washed the disciples' feet. Friday was the crucifixion. Saturday, it's interesting. As I looked at it, some people call it Black Saturday because Jesus was in the grave. Others call it Holy Saturday. And of course, Sunday was the game changer. Jesus rose from the dead. Here we have it. You know, Bill described it. They have palm branches. They did, some of them lay down their coats. So here's Jesus entering Jerusalem. We get a nice picture of that, right? I think everybody looks so happy right there. Isn't that just a lovely scene? And just a few short days later, we have that. How do you get from that to that so quickly? I'm kind of going to pick up where Joanne left off today. Is it okay if we do a bit of a deep dive? Because I think the Lord wants to do a deep dive today. His presence is here. I hope you sense his presence. It's still here. But I'm going to ask you a question, and I'm going to ask it periodically through this teaching. And it may sound a little odd at first, but bear with me. And here's the question. Let's consider that. What exactly do you want? What exactly do you want out of this relationship with the Lord? How serious are you about following Jesus above all else? I'm going to ask you to be really introspective this morning. Sometimes we just do, you know what I mean? We get in the mode and we just do. And once in a while, it's nice to pull back, go deep, and see what's happening. Why are you following him? What motivates you to follow him? This is in the backdrop of the change in attitude in 6 days. Last thing I want to ask you is, what is your spiritual diet these days? Are you podcasts and YouTube? Are you sitcoms and something else? What is your spiritual diet? Are you eating cake and ice cream? Which is always fun, but we can't live on that. Or are you having substantive food? And one last thing I want to caution you about. Why is he cautioning us? I really want you to hear what the Lord is getting to this morning. And when you ask things like this, what exactly do I want? On the surface, you may think, well, yeah, I want the Lord. But if you haven't figured it out yet, we are very complex creatures. Have you figured that out yet? Have you figured that we're just not black and white? Our hearts have many places. And I just want to suggest to you that in some places of our heart and our life, we're laying down our coats and welcoming Jesus in. And in other places, we are not so inviting because of what the Lord wants to talk to us about. So, we're going to be in John 6, and we think there was a quick change here. In John 6, like there was a change almost overnight in how people were going after Jesus and where they ended up with Jesus. Okay? And before we get into that, before we get here, I got to give you a little backdrop of what's going on. There's so much in this chapter. There's so much going on here. Let me just let you know what's going on. So, take it piece by piece. Jesus heads over from the far shore of the Sea of Galilee to be alone, heads up in a mountain with his disciples. So here he goes, heads up there. The crowds follow him because of all of the miracles that they have been watching him doing. So he goes up with the disciples, people show up, and what happens? He feeds them, right? He feeds them. That's the miracle of the 5,000 men. So who knows how many? There were thousands of people there that day. 10, 15, 20, who knows? The Bible tells us 5,000 men. Now here's the cool thing about this. This is the only miracle recorded in all four Gospels, this one. This is the only one recorded in all four Gospels. And the people were really excited. They got a free meal. You know, they didn't have all these in Walmart and Price Chopper and Wegmans and Tops and where else you want to go. They were agricultural society. Food was like a big deal. We have so much available, we forget. He fed them, and they saw what he did. They saw the miracle that he did. So let's continue. He didn't just feed them, right? They picked up a whole bunch of basket loads. They got more than they could eat. And for some people, maybe that is the first time in a while that that's happened to them. In verse 14, it says, after people saw the sign Jesus performed, they began to say, surely this is the prophet who is to come into the world. Remember that. That's where their heart was at that point in time. And why? We'll get into it. At that time, I read an interesting quote from a commentator, name was Bruce, and he said this, a rabbi of a later date is credited with the observation that as the first redeemer caused manna to descend, he's talking about Moses, so will the last redeemer cause manna to descend. And that was the general idea to have been current in the first century. Isn't that interesting? Jesus, again, redeemer, and providing them with bread. And so these are things that are floating around in their head. So a little FYI, Jesus saw the excitement. He wasn't having any of it. Verse 15 says, Jesus, knowing that they intended to come and make him king by force, withdrew again to a mountain by himself. Can't fool Jesus. He's seen all of the hype, and the scripture makes it clear. He's like, he backs off, it doesn't end there. He sends the disciples off, they get in a boat, and they start rowing. About 3 or 4 miles out, the water got rough. Matthew records it was somewhere between 3 and 6 in the morning, and they had been out there about 6 to 8 hours. This is where Jesus decides he's going to walk on the water and heads out to them. They see him, they get scared. Matthew lets us know Peter got out on the water for a little while, and they finally let him back in the boat. In John 6, verse 21, it says, then they were willing to take him into the boat, and immediately the boat reached the other shore where they were heading. One last miracle. Isn't that cool? Jesus didn't just calm the waters. He got in the boat, and there they were. They had been struggling and struggling and struggling. This is the backstory of where we come in, to where we're going to pick up here. And so here we are. The next day, the crowd that had stayed on the opposite shore of the lake realized that only one boat had been there and that Jesus had not entered it with his disciples, but that they had gone away alone. Then some boats from Tiberias landed near the place where the people had eaten the bread and the Lord had given thanks. Once the crowd realized that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they got into the boats and went to Capernaum in search of Jesus. When they found him on the other side of the lake, they asked him, Rabbi, when did you get here? And I think it was one more of kind of like this. Ever see someone that you're not expecting someone and you're like, when did you get here? How did you get here? They were already intrigued with him and with what was going on. And it's interesting because Jesus got their attention, but he was headed in a really different place than they thought. And I would ask you this morning, has the Lord ever gotten your attention about something and you're interested and he ends up taking you in a totally different place than where you thought? But sometimes he has to get our attention. You hear what I'm saying? In his love, sometimes he has to get our attention. So it's almost like a mom, you know, grab the little kid's face and you're like, those eyes lock, and you know it's all over then when you're a little kid. Your mother grabs your face, looks in your eyes lock, it's over. So he gets their attention. And here's what he says. I think. Thank you. Jesus answered, very truly, I tell you. By the way, when you hear the very truly, he's like, I'm talking, okay? He's getting serious. He says, very truly, I tell you, you are looking for me not because you saw the signs I performed, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. I just want to stop there for a minute. Remember, we're doing a deep dive. Remember the question. What exactly do you want? What exactly do you want? Because you're going to head in that direction. And Jesus, right out of the gate, gets serious with him and says, hey, by the way, you're not here for what you think. It's not the show that you're talking about. It's not, we'll catch it in a few verses from now, you're looking for me not because you saw the signs I performed, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. We don't ever do that, right? We don't ever approach Jesus for the wrong reason, do we? He goes on, do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him God the Father has placed his seal of approval. I want to stop there again. He's cautioning them about worldly pursuits, temporal needs. Okay? Doesn't help us to read the scriptures if we don't take them and try to apply them to our life and our current situation and what's happening. He's trying to get them to a different place. He, right out of the gate here, is talking to them about eternal life. And you're going to see this theme. It's like 45 verses. It's really serious. And I want you to see this as it really is. This huge group of people who are coming in to see Jesus because they're excited about what they're seeing. Right? They're excited. I mean, they made an effort to go find him. But what exactly do you want? There was an issue with it. And so he's calling them right out of the gate. Jesus is wonderful in his love for us. Because you know what happens in his great love for us? He speaks truth to us. He loves you enough that he's going to speak truth deep into your heart. What motivates us? Remember I asked you that? He went right after them and pointed out what was motivating them to pursue him. What's motivating you to pursue him? He clearly wants to give them eternal life. So there are two kind of thoughts about here, because we see their response. They say, then they asked him, what must we do to do the works God requires? Okay, so they're like, excuse me. Some people are thinking that it's like, wow, we want to be able to do this stuff. This stuff's really cool. I mean, you know, you got here. We know how you got here. You didn't get in a boat. You fed all these people. This is really cool stuff. We want to do the cool stuff. Ever feel like you want to do the cool stuff? Hey, if I can make bread all the time, this would be wonderful. I don't have to farm that lousy land I have anymore. Or they had the law, and they're used to walking in the law. See what they said? What must we do? Do you have that attitude sometimes? Lord, what do I got to do? What do I have to do? What do I have to do? Do I have to read my Bible? Not that any of these things are bad. Do I have to pray? Do I have to go to church, to a life group? Do I have to abstain from certain particular sins? Do I have to serve other people in church and elsewhere? Do I have to share the gospel? Do I have to volunteer? Do I have to forgive? And the list goes on and on and on. What exactly do you want? And so what does Jesus say? It's really, I feel, the theme that God has been speaking to us right from worship. And what does he say? Jesus answered, the work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent. So many times we want to do things that make us feel good about ourselves, like earning our salvation. And I know we think, I'm not trying to earn my salvation, but again, do a deep dive, okay? Do a deep dive. It was interesting Tuesday night at Basic, I was sharing out of Galatians, in Galatians 5, and I asked them, and I'll ask you as a little side note, this is a little side note you're getting for free. Are you really free? Are you really free? Go read Galatians. And I just want to remind you of something. Jesus said here, the work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent. And he's already letting them know, God put his stamp of approval on it. When we read, right, on the mountain, it's like, ooh, who's this? Wow, who's this guy? I mean, we kind of thought we knew him. And he's trying to let them know, God has a stamp of approval on me. Ephesians says this, we know it. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. Your faith isn't saving you. And that may throw you for a loop. The scripture is very clear. It is God's grace over your life. Grace is unmerited favor. Okay? He has unmerited favor towards you. That's what saves you. Faith is the vehicle. The work of God is this. Believe in the one he's sent. That's where our work is in our faith, in believing who he is in all circumstances, in all situations, in all places of our lives, with all things that are going on, all the time. We come back to the same place all the time, and you'll see it as we move through here. What is your work? What are you working at? I'm working at focusing on you, Jesus, and your truth. What exactly do I want? I've come to know that what exactly I want isn't always exactly what I should want. And I'll get to it just in a little bit, because we have to move on. Oh, Lord. So I'm not sure. Okay, I'll take one. These are all my little subheadings for myself. I hope you appreciate them too. So we move on. So he tells them, believe in me. What do they say? So they asked him, what sign then will you give that we may see it and believe you? What will you do? Okay. They didn't like the answer. Did not like it. Not that we ever get an answer from the Lord we don't like, right? So it's immediately, okay, prove it to me, Lord. I want you to prove it to me. You got to do something. It's like, well, how did you get here in the first place? They followed him all over the place to get there. I don't look at them, by the way, and think, oh, well, that was them. We are cut from the same fabric. Our heart is just as nasty and miserable as theirs. That's what we're warring with. And that's the deep dive. What are you in it for? Okay? And so they come out of the gate and they're like, okay. What sign are you going to give us? You mean that yesterday, the one you wanted to make him king? Yesterday, the one you were so, like, excited because he fed all these people? You wonder how he comes into Jerusalem on one day with the coats laying down, and, you know, 6 days later, he's on a cross. Don't look at those things and not be able to look into your own heart and see the same things that are working out in there in your life. You want to be free? It was for freedom. What are you free from? You're free from the tyranny of having to cover your own sin. And Jesus is going to get to the ultimate goal here. And so what do? They point back. Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. You gotta love us. We are such an interesting creation. That God is here to redeem. Bible commentator David Guzik wrote this, and I highlighted it because I thought it was really interesting. He said, listen, when we are hungry, we feel as though food will answer all of our problems. I thought about that. I just laughed. I'm thinking, yeah, when I'm hungry, it doesn't matter, everything else is going on. Like, I got to get something to eat. If I could just get something to eat, everything else will be wonderful. It's the same way with almost all other practical difficulties we find ourselves in. Just as Jesus tried to lift their understanding above their material and physical needs, so we need to have our minds lifted. What is it in your life that you are so focused on that you're not, listen to me, You hear nothing, hear this. This is, I just pointing this out. What is it in your life that you're so focused on that you are not letting Jesus redirect your thoughts and actions? What exactly do I want? You following me? And I look at my own life and I'm like, we get in a mode, there's something in our lives. It could be relational issues, marital issues, financial issues, health issues, financial issues, work issues, whatever the case may be. And we're like those people. We are focused on that. And God's like, he like wants to move our perspective somewhere else. And we're like, I prove it. What are you going to do? I'll go there, but what are you going to do? What exactly do I want? Sometimes in those moments, what I want is I want him to get the pressure off. I want the pain to stop. I want the fear to go away. I want the anxiety to go away. Or whatever else it is. I'm like focused there. And Jesus, in his great love for me, is trying sometimes to bring me to a different place, like he was with them. And he says this, "Very truly, I tell you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." They hear that. Again, they're still focused on one thing. And they say, "Sir," they say, "always give us this bread." "I'm not sure." "Sure, I'll take one." They're like, "Ah, I don't know, what are you going to do?" And he's like, "This stuff comes down from heaven, right?" And they're like, "Okay, I'll have one of those." They're still not getting it. And it's not just them. Just again, step back for a minute. Picture this dialogue. Picture this scene. Okay? All these people, they're there. They're following him. "We want you. We want you. We want you. We want to make you king." Remember Jesus, he left them. He's like, "They want me to be king. They'll do it by force." Why? I took care of some of their physical needs. He's so far above that, as we'll see right here. It's why it's highlighted. Okay, there's this dialogue going back and forth. What's the dialogue in your heart all the time? Here we go. Then Jesus declared, "I." Okay, he's like, when I read these scriptures, when I read this, I see this heart of Jesus. Okay, he's not going to back off the truth. He's just not going to do that. He's going to press in. Okay, he's going to press, as we'll see. But behind that pressing is this incredible love. And he knows what you need in spite of yourself and in spite of myself. So he presses. And you can almost hear him. He's like, "That's me. Oh yeah, we'll take this eternal bread. Oh, I don't have to do this ever again. I'll take it." And he's like, "That's me. I'm the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry. And whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. But as I told you, you have seen me and you still don't believe. You still do not believe. All those the Father gives me will come to me. And whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me." Here it comes. Ready? I highlighted it, even though it's in red. "And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all those he has given me, but raise them up on the last day. I have that highlighted because he makes this statement over and over again in this passage when he's trying to get the people to understand what really matters. His focus is so different than their focus. His focus sometimes is so different than my focus. My focus is right here. See that? This flesh and blood, my focus gets here so many times. I would love to be able to stand up here and say that, you know, that's not the case. It happens all the time. And Jesus, you know what he's saying here to me and to you and to them and to anyone who wants to listen? Here's my focus. Here's the will. Here's what God wants. You know what he wants? I'm not going to lose you on the last day. When's it going to happen? You're going to get raised up on the last day. That's when it all happens. Pick your eyes up. Pick it up. Truth. He's going to deliver it to you. But you don't understand. I got this serious problem. I understand. I'm not going to lose you. It's God's will that I don't lose you. But you got to hear me. You got to work through this with me. Let me pick your vision up. It's not like he didn't tell us that in this world we would have trouble, right? And we get this focus. We get this myopic focus because we're feeling the pain. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day. Listen. We don't have to leave our house to shop anymore, okay? Our society is all about convenience. Everything has got to be convenient. It's moving at 1,000 miles an hour, and therefore we need all this convenience of everything. And Jesus is telling us, he's there and here today, hold on a minute. You know what the real goal is? You make it to heaven. That's the real goal. That's where I'm not going to lose you. Now, it doesn't mean he doesn't want to do miracles in the meantime. He doesn't want to do healings, financial miracles, relational. I'm not saying any of that. But what exactly do you want? We need to be lined up with what he wants, the ultimate goal, because along the way, when things happen, we're not going to get so shipwrecked, are we? Then there's resistance. Okay. At this, the Jews there began to grumble about him. And because he said, I am the bread that came down from heaven. Jesus ever say something to you don't like? I know we never grumble, right? They said, is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? We love to rationalize the truth of God away. Ever figure that out? Right? Haven't said it in a while. The heart is deceitful above all else and desperately sick, wicked, whatever. The scripture says, who can understand it? The more introspective I get, the more I let the light of God shine in my heart, the more I look at it and go, ooh, you know, God, you're right. The only thing I understand about this heart is it's corrupt. It got corrupted. Yeah, you're right, Lord. It got corrupted. I do need your grace. That's the only way I'm getting to heaven. And my work is to continually go after you and your truth. whose mother and father we know, how can he now say, I came down from heaven? And Jesus, again, he's still charging in. And he says, stop grumbling among yourselves, Jesus answered. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws them, and I will raise them up. Oh, there it is again, on the last day. He keeps driving that truth in. Because that's his goal. He knows what's most important, and so he's driving it in. It is written in the prophets, they will all be taught by God. Everyone who has heard the Father, so now he's going in. Okay, is that the direction you want to go? Is this what you want to do? Okay. Everyone who has heard the Father and has learned from him, guess what? Comes to me. No one has seen the Father except the one who is from God. Only he has seen the Father. Very truly, I tell you, the one who believes in me, the one who believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. By the way, your ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, yet they died. Oh, here you go. Sometimes when we dig in, the Lord will dig in. Okay? He will dig in. Why? Because he loves you. And he wants your focus to be where his focus is. Even Jesus said, I do what I see the Father doing. I speak what I hear the Father speaking. He set that as an example for us. Your ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, yet they died. It's almost like a little, what? I'm talking to you about eternal life, and you're telling me something that happened hundreds of years ago, and what ended up happening to those people? They died. Hello? This is better. But here is the bread that comes down from heaven, which anyone may eat and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. He keeps driving this thing home. His ultimate goal is to get us to himself in a place that's beautiful. Read Revelations. I know it's a little scary. Read what's coming. Not just in tribulations and all those things, but read what God has set for us. Okay? I have it in my notes somewhere. We're not home. Okay? We're not home yet. So stop acting like you're home. You're not. Paul said about the salvation, my salvation is going to be finished when this flesh is gone and I get the new one. Because when this flesh is gone, the sin nature is gone with it. Hallelujah. And so he endured. He endured all kinds of things. I think he started to understand what was going on. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Jesus is letting them know what's going on. It's like, it's going to cost me. It's going to cost me big. But I'll do it for you. But I can't get off this point. And sometimes when the Lord's speaking to us, it's like, I'm not getting off this. I don't care how much you cry, how upset you are. I love you. I don't want you to cry. I don't want you to be upset. I don't want you to be scared. I don't want you to be fearful. I don't want you to be full of anxiety. But I'm not getting off this. This is what you need to hear. And it's usually some kind of revelation about himself. People grumble. We grumble all the time. I have many notes on that, but we're going to move on. So Jesus presses in. Then the Jews began to argue sharply among themselves. How can this man give us his flesh to eat? See, when you are pushing against God, this thing can easily work against you. Okay? It's like you're getting pressed, and you know, I don't know about you, but I like to be right. And so I will find reasons why I'm right. And I shouldn't practice that when I'm talking to the Lord. Very truly, I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. He goes right in. He goes, if you notice, he didn't start that way, but they kept resisting and resisting, and he kept seeing their heart, and they're resisting, and there's resisting, and he's like, okay, okay, here we go. Here we go. It's almost like shock therapy. Boom. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life. Here it is. And I will raise them up at the last day. For my flesh is real food and my blood is real drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me and I in them. He's trying to let them know what he wants. He wants to be their everything. He wants to be the very life in you. And he isn't going to let it go. And they're getting more and more angry, and he's pressing in deeper and deeper and deeper. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in them, just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father. So the one who feeds on me will live because of me. It's almost like a parable at that point in time he's getting into. Now we know that he's not endorsing cannibalism here, okay? We understand that. But he's pushing about who he wants to be in your life. This is the bread that came down from heaven. So remember, they're talking about Moses and the bread. I mean, we got to understand, put yourself in that situation. Put yourself back in that time. Your ancestors ate manna and died. He's telling them again, listen, the path you're on, you're going to die in it. But whoever feeds on this bread will live forever. He said this while he was teaching in Capernaum. He's there. He's in the synagogue. He's almost pleading. I don't think God pleads with anyone, but I don't know a better word. He's like, I want to be everything. That's why the Father sent me down, to be everything for you. Every need you have, I know what those needs are. But you've got to understand something. You got to understand why I came. You have to understand the will of the Father. You have to understand what really, really matters. And I don't want you falling off the wagon because of something temporal, even though it seems like everything to you. I think sometimes, especially now in our society, we think everything has to be taken care of for us. There's like no suffering anymore. Read Romans 8. It talks about the fact that, hey, we're children of God and we get to suffer. You're thinking, boy, I wish Dick would never leave and I don't have to listen to him. But it's true, okay? It's true. I know it goes against the grain of our society, but this stuff is temporal, okay? It's temporal. Think about all of the martyrs. Who remembers Jim Elliot and that crew? Okay? They were trying to get to a group of people, and they found a way to land a plane in this jungle area, and, you know, I think it was five guys, right? Five of them had families, small children, and they're like, God, yes, God wants us to go there. And they land their plane. They're so excited. They lift this little plane along a riverbank of the Amazon or wherever they were. And they were speared to death, all of them. And I will raise them up on the last day. Okay? That doesn't fit in some of our theologies, does it? God called them there for a reason. You know what ended up happening? That tribe got saved. Through their death, they got saved. Isn't that amazing? But it was a sacrifice. And they overcame him, Revelation says. Right? And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, and they loved not their life unto death. Why? What exactly do you want? They wanted to follow Jesus. What about those widows, their wives and their children. If go check it out, it's an amazing story. And I have to just tell you, in the midst of things we don't understand, they were getting murdered. One of the people who did the killing and the people that were there said at the time, and they found this later on after they got saved, that they heard, one of the missionaries was playing some choir music, and one of the tribes people heard it, and they basically said, I heard music like that. When those guys were getting speared, they heard that. And some of them saw like white faces, like the angels were above the trees taking those men into heaven, and they saw some of it and heard some of it. It's incredible. But you know what? God had to pick their focus up from where they were going. He had a different plan. And I'm not telling you that we're all going to be martyred. I'm just saying, what exactly do you want? Do you want what he wants? Is your goal where his goal is? Jesus gives it one last try, okay? Because it says, on hearing this, many of his disciples said, this is a hard teaching. Who can accept it? Aware that his disciples were grumbling, Jesus said, does this offend you? Then what if you see the Son of Man ascend to where he was before? The Spirit gives life, the flesh counts for nothing. He's trying to let them know. I'm not telling you to be cannibals, okay? The words I have spoken to you, they are full of spirit and life. Yet there are some of you who do not believe. For Jesus had known from the beginning which ones did not believe and who would betray him. And he went on to say, this is why I told you that no one can come to me unless the Father has enabled them. And a very sad ending. From this time, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him. He's not going to get off the truth. He's going to continue to press on only because he loves you and he wants you in the place that he wants you. And we're going to end here. What exactly do we want? Jesus. This whole dialogue comes down to this one thing. And Mark said it, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. Okay? What exactly do I want? I want to encourage you. There's only one answer to that. What exactly I want is Jesus. That's the beginning and the end. Because when he wants to do a miracle in my life, I'm there. And I'm going to pray for it. And I'm going to go after it. And when he wants to take a different path for me, I'm there. You hear what I'm saying? Don't get distracted. Romans 8 says, those who live according to the flesh have their mindset on what the flesh desires, but those who live according to the Spirit have their mindset on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. And I know this may sound hard, but it's really not. In these difficult times we're in, where if I can say there are lots of Jesuses out there, lots of places where they're not speaking the truth, I want to encourage you that our goal, right, our job is to believe on him, and we have to understand that his will is that we get to heaven. Okay? He said he came that we may have life and have it to the full. But what's the answer to that? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for this time. Lord, I know we covered a lot of scripture this morning, but Father, I pray that we would be firmly rooted in your truth, and it's you. Jesus, you're far above what we understand. As Joanne shared, Lord, who you really are, we just have a glimpse. And yet you're speaking to us today about one thing. Just like with Martha and Mary, Lord, you said, really only one thing matters. And that is that we sit at your feet and hear what you have to say. Lord Jesus, give us the faith, the energy, the wherewithal to continue to seek you in difficult situations, Lord. Help us to stay focused, and no matter what, like Peter said, where else will we go? You have words of life. Lord, help us be there and help us to continue to move out in the Spirit. And Lord, let us understand that because of that, we are free to serve you. We're truly free people. And I pray your blessing on each and every one of us today, Lord. We thank you so much. In your mighty name, Jesus, we pray, amen.